RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. It's Friday.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I feel hungover.
You do?
Yeah, you know what it is? The baby has been sleeping through the night the last, we put her into the crib. She's now in her own room.
Ooh.
In the crib. She turned 4 months old on Monday.
Oh my gosh.
And she couldn't do the bassinet anymore. She was almost tipping it over at night. She was kicking around so much. So I said, all right, crib time. So we put her on in there. And I'll tell you, Tracy, the first night she slept in there from, I think, 8 o'clock until 7 in the morning. And then the second night it was about 8:30 or so until about 5:30 or 6 in the morning. Last night was another... 8:30 to 5 o'clock, and then fed, and then fell asleep for another 2 hours.
That's
She's still sleeping right now. Oh, it's been amazing. But the problem is, Lauren and I have been getting so much sleep the last couple of days.
You're not used to it.
That we're not. It's crazy. It's almost like if you're living off of depleted sleep, it's almost better to keep living that way. Mm-hmm. Because once you actually get any kind of catch up on it, you feel like you have been binge drinking and you're just completely hungover. I have a tension headache right now.
Ugh.
And that's for being rested. So I don't know. But either way, good change. I'll take it no matter what.
Well, I mean, little one is getting older. You know, things are changing. Things are changing. Yeah. It's so cute, though.
Yeah, it is.
So let's talk about how Twitter stock is down. I don't know. Let's check it today. Let's see. Oh, wow. Look at that. It's down about, I don't know, a percentage point today to $45.34. I think between Twitter and Facebook, they've lost about $51 billion.
Good. Good. I hope they all starve.
And
I hope they all starve.
Of course, we had yesterday James O'Keefe dropping a Jack clip. Have you heard this one?
Yes, I have, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see the full release.
Is there more?
Well, I thought that this was a preview of things to come.
Oh, I don't know. Listen, this is what I think about this. Okay, there's a couple different ways you can approach it. Number one, you can say he is being very cautious because he knows there's a chance he may be recorded, and he's keeping up the sort of facade that he really thinks there's violent extremists that are, you know, using the platform for whatever, because he kind of covers himself at the end. Did you notice that?
In what way?
Like, we'll listen to it right now.
Okay.
You should always feel free to express yourself in whatever format manifestation feels right. We do intend to do a full retro, as I said in my note. It is going to take some time. And then the other thing, just to close out a little bit, we are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account, and it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week, the next few weeks. It's going to go on beyond the inauguration. We have to expect that. We have to be ready for that. So the focus is certainly on this account and how it ties to real world violence, but also
let's just stop for a second. The FBI has literally come out and said that this event on the Capitol was pre-planned. So if the event on the Capitol was pre-planned, how is it tied to President Trump's tweets?
Yep. Exactly. Great question to ask, Tracy.
How is the impeachment legitimate at that point either? Which it never was to begin with, but
never was. Never was. I'm telling you, there is a parallel reality. That is, there's a war being waged in a parallel reality that we all. It's almost as if we are on the surface of the ocean, and we know that there is a lot of crap going on underneath the surface.
Yes.
And there's these black kind of rough waters. And every once in a while, we see some sort of a crazy sea urchin battle that bring that comes up to the surface, and you see thrashing of fins, and you see shark eyes and teeth. Every once in a while, a seal gets eaten.
Yep.
But you never actually know the full story. There is so much going on. Oh my God, what the hell next week is going to bring? I have no clue. I keep asking it, who's 21,000 troops for?
I think it's 26,000 troops now.
It's not Trump supporters.
You know, I wanted to talk about this today because, you know, I've kind of just been watching this happen and kind of sitting back and saying, okay. There are 26 or something like that thousand military troops in Washington, D.C.
sleeping in the corridors,
sleeping on the floor in a city where no one is, like literally no one's there.
Locked down.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, and then Joe Biden says that, you know, last night he canceled his little audition today, his little practice run for the inauguration because of security concerns. If you've basically got three platoons in D.C. right now, and there's a security concern still. It's just very strange.
Very strange. I'm telling you. I mean, out of all the things we don't know, the one thing I do know without anybody telling me is that 26,000 soldiers
sent there by the commander in chief.
I know. And it's not to protect Joe Biden from Trump supporters.
No, it's not. So what the hell is going on?
I don't know. It's definitely not to protect Joe Biden from Trump supporters. And it's certainly not going to protect Joe Biden from all his imaginary voters.
Nobody would have come to that inauguration anyway.
Exactly.
And so they made a COVID excuse about it. But
that was the entire excuse for the campaign.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's just very, very strange. Like, I don't say much about these things until I have enough background information to lend to the discussion. Otherwise, it's just feeding rumors and blah, blah, blah. And Lord knows there's enough of that going around right now. But right now it's like, okay. And it's been building up slowly over the past like week or two. And, you know, more information now is coming out about this Capitol incident. And the FBI has now arrested that guy that was a Black Lives Matter activist who was filming in there. And it seems like he was colluding with a CNN journalist who was also with him.
I know.
There is, you know, this and, you know, there's a whole different side of this, too, where the, you know, Ali, he did a video, I guess, on Twitter where he said that he was talking to a couple of representatives about like the activism that would go on that day. He doesn't, in what I heard, say that he was planning anything to, you know, storm the Capitol building. He just says, we were working with them. We wanted everybody inside to hear us. So the point was to get a lot of people surrounding the building, which they were permitted for, believe it or not, I believe. Like, I'm pretty sure, because they had stage and everything. And they wanted to make a lot of noise and scream and yell and all that, like the almost like the left did when they were banging on the doors of the Supreme Court or occupying Nancy Pelosi's office. You know?
Yep.
So I don't know what's going on here, but apparently, as per our friendly FBI, there were tons of insiders in on this. And that's what I said the very first day. I said it was so convenient that all of a sudden when they came back, they stopped debating fraud anymore. They stopped completely. So.
And it was insurrection.
Insurrection. I mean.
We went from fraud to insurrection.
Yes. Here's the rest of Jack. He might, like, this might be a God complex talking because he does, you know, the way he always talks nice and calm and, you know, we've got to protect people from this real world violence and, you know, here.
So we need to think much longer term around how these dynamics play out over time. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon. And the moves that we're making today around QAnon, for instance, is one such example of a much broader approach that we should be looking at. focus on this particular issue, but we also need to give them the space and the support to focus on the much bigger picture, because it is not going away. The U.S. is extremely divided. Our platform is showing that every single day, and our role is to protect the integrity of that conversation
by stifling anybody who disagrees with it.
Yeah, like, we need to protect the integrity of the conversation. There, what conversation? There are 98,000 million conversations going on at once on the internet. Like, what are you talking about? You're talking about being able to reach on into and change the way that we speak and what we're not allowed to talk about. This is just and I can't stand this, man. Yeah, you God complex? Yeah. No, it's down and is on a molecular level with this douchebag Yeti, and I listen to him on every damn interview that he does, and to hear him on a private conversation being that same monotone weirdo, there is something I can't even imagine what he does in his room alone.
I him and they did like this time morph of Zuckerberg from Facebook, of like what he looked like when he was younger to what he's
That's not him anymore.
I mean,
definitely proof positive of the cloning program. Proof positive.
So did you hear that? Never mind. I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
Nonsense. Ridiculous. Zip it. So bad. So anyway, there's more here.
Do what we can to make sure that no one is being harmed based off that. And that is the focus, and that is the color we want to provide.
There you have it. Jack Dorsey, CEO of Twitter, recorded by what...
So I think he covered himself in the shroud of make sure the conversation is good. You know?
Yeah, we need a good conversation. Then again, it asks, what is good to these evil people? What is good to evil people?
Anything that
is evil to good people. So there you have it. What is good to evil people? Oh, having other people on dog leashes and fitted with collars so that Jack Dorsey and all his interns can walk us around the park and make sure that we stay on the paved pathways. Don't go put your feet in the grass.
I was going to ask what happens if you step off.
What do you think? What do you think? Park patrol takes you out. No, there's just so much. There's so much. What was I thinking about last night for a little while? It'll come back to me. That's what I was talking about. I had this thing in my mind because, you know, thinking about Twitter and all the kind of the censorship and where it could backfire, you know, thinking about Gab and what happened to Parler and Cloud Hub. And I made the comparison of it pretty much being like since the 90s when everybody really started buying personal computers. And you got onto AOL or CompuServe or, you know, Netscape Navigator or whatever the hell it was, Juno, whatever you do in the 90s. And we started really bringing the internet into our lives and realizing how the computers and the internet was going to be the future for communication, for business, eventually.
It's the AOL sound.
Oh my God. I thought I was having a stroke.
Sorry. I wanted to play the dial-up modem sound in the background to make it cool, but it's...
I was sure at that point I was dying. I said, okay, well, that's it.
Sorry. I completely threw off the whole thing. I was just trying to be funny. I'm sorry.
There you go. That was the soundtrack of our lives for so many years, the dial-up modems. But, you know, we lived throughout all of that. We knew. And then, of course, around 2008, a little over 10 years later, we realized that it's going to be very influential for elections. And I think that the one thing that we always took for granted is that we thought that it was always going to be free. The internet was always going to be free, open, and wild. And then when it became the big driver for all of society, and we also start realizing that some of the biggest platforms that we have found ourselves relying upon for everything from civic discourse to entertainment and everything else have not only been built up and funded by some of the more tyrannical types of people on Earth, but also our own Defense Department, you know, government military operations help create, and the internet and some of its biggest technology, information technology companies. What we really had is this nation, this new reality building up around us that was in one fell swoop just pulled out from under us. And now here we are in 1997 again, when it takes 15 minutes to load the front page of Cloud Hub, and we have to find new ways to rebuild everything we thought we were always going to have. And I started to realize, asking myself, what are some of the unforeseen consequences for these idiots that always overstep and always have to overplay their hand? Because people, the quickening is always something that they are working against. People wake up. And then not only are you there stuck with your evil plans, you have to try to find a way to implement your evil plans before the mass awakening that starts getting triggered by the stench that is coming from your camp. And people start wondering, what the hell is that smell? They have to start doing sloppy things to move it along. For instance, 2020 was pretty much 8 years worth of scandal and bullshit packed into one.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't wait anymore. Donald Trump was going to get reelected in a landslide. And now here we are. And I said, what could be one of the unforeseen consequences? And I don't know to what scale this would happen, Tracy, but I do believe that once, and it's already happening, people on places like Twitter that is dominated by left-wing authoritarianism, they have not, it's becoming more and more boring for them. There's nobody to fight. You chased everybody away. So now they're trying to chase people down on platforms they don't control, and they will never have any administrative power in, like Cloud Hub or Gab. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not so much that you have to choose to be red-pilled. Many times
it happens on its own.
You just be exposed. Because how many times, like I said last night on my show, it's almost like walking in on a cheating spouse. It's like,
yeah,
you see something you cannot unsee, and you're changed forever. And Tracy, do you remember back in early 2019, GQ magazine online, they were covering the plight of Facebook content moderators that were put in charge of
going their mental health issues and
and what they noticed was not only were a lot of them they needed counseling for things that they were seeing, like extreme violence, but other people were starting to believe the conspiracy theories, supposedly, that they were there to moderate.
Yep.
There were people that were starting to question 9/11. There were people that were starting to question, vaccines. They were starting to question all of this stuff. And of course, it was being spun as a casualties of war situation, where these people that are going in there to save us from lies were being suckered in by lies. But were they? Is it all lies? And that is what I think is going to be one of the silver linings by them thinking that they owned the world and there would never be a way. Their world is going to be so sterilized and so boring that they are going to send people right into the arms of the enemy in territory that they do not control. I think it could be the opening for a very interesting cavalcade of new red-pilled Americans, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I know it, because it's happening already. I mean, I told you the other day, the conversations I'm having with people that are just literally just like, oh my gosh, normal people that don't go on socials or like have a Facebook account that they talk to their high school friends on. You know what I mean? Like not people that are involved politically or anything. Now, to be fair, they're all sending me messages like, you know, WikiLeaks just dumped all of their files online. Here's the Clinton emails, you know, like things like that, that are, we know are already out there already. Like file.wikileaks.org/file has been there for years and years and years. It's not new. There's not new stuff in there, but dig in. It's fun stuff to read. You know what I mean? But
oh, yeah.
They're still like, is this true? is this true? Like, is this true?
All day long.
All day. All day. I mean, I have been inundated. I mean, for the lack of platforms we have, people are finding ways to communicate with, at least with me. I'm overwhelmed in messages. Overwhelmed.
I can't tell you how many of my in-laws.
Oh yeah.
Every day. It's not even just. I told you this a couple of months ago. I had a friend of mine who, by all stretches, she is not a. She's not typically conservative or anything like that, but it was back in April or May. All of a sudden, she got in touch with me and she said, "Okay, listen, just tell me everything you know about the Freemasons." I said, "Whoa."
Whoa, hold on a second.
I said, you have completely jumped over the foreplay and you are going into BDSM. You have got to rely. I said, here's the first thing you do, and I'll trace it. And this is for everybody out there. The first thing I do when people start becoming curious is I say, go and research the verifiable and ongoing history of not only this government, but governments on out there, the history of human experimentation on unsuspecting populaces with any types of substances, medications, dogs,
CIA
cats.
Reading room, baby. It's all right there.
Do it. Do it. The first thing you need to do if you're going to really be prepared to understand how bad things really are is you have got to irreparably fracture your trust in government.
Yeah.
You need to. And the greatest thing to do is to see what throughout the ages, especially in this country with the verified false flags like the Gulf of Tonkin and even the USS Maine. You talk about that yellow journalism and the way that we have been experimented on biochemically.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start.
And listen, it's right in the CIA reading room. Like legitimately old documents, things that are official government documents you can read. I think they dropped a bunch of UFO stuff today, Frank.
Mm. John Whitehead, that's a guy you wanna follow. John Whitehead, he wrote a wonderful book that the first time I ever noticed him, it was a book called Battlefield America. Ron Paul wrote the foreword for it, and he started the Rutherford Institute. And on top of all the other civil liberties issues that he covers, definitely has covered the experimentation on human subjects, especially unsuspecting subjects, citywide experiments. Even sometimes, go check out John Whitehead's work.
If you look, it's yesterday this came out. CIA releases entire collection. I doubt that of UFO related documents to truth seeking website. The Black Vault documents cover everything from mysterious Russian explosions to top government officials being hand-delivered UFO intel. More than three decades worth of government UFO records are now yours to download and peruse thanks to the efforts of some intrepid truth seekers. The massive data dump includes more than 2,700 pages of UFO-related documents declassified by the CIA since the 1980s. According to the Black Vault, an online repository of UFO-related documents operated by author John Greenwald Jr., they were obtained through a long string of FOIA requests filed over the last quarter century. Pretty amazing. Fun to read through. I'll put it in the show notes today. Another thing that I really wanted to talk to you about is how many governments across the world are seemingly fracturing before our very eyes, Frank.
I know. Italy, Renzi's out.
The Netherlands.
Yep.
Germany.
Merkel.
Yep. Merkel stepping down.
There's some kind of a reset is going on.
Well, I mean, hopefully it's not the one everyone's talking about.
We're going toward a reset. The real question has always been, whose? Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah. Maybe we'll get our lassos out and start doing the cowboy dance in a couple days. Who knows?
Oh, I'm determined to have a good year, no matter what. I don't care. I'm going to have a good year, no matter what. I think everybody should be determined as well.
Yeah.
So buy your lassos. Let's do it.
Let's jump around. Just record ourselves. It'll be like, you know, now that all the COVID restrictions are going away. Are you seeing this?
Oh yeah. Starting with that New York Times article.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see this one?
No.
Oh, this is this is the cherry on top of the cherry. Hold on. Let me see here. New York Times. Where the hell are you? Pause for a second, please.
Yes, sir. Pausing now.
Okay. Yes. Okay, we're back.
You ready for this?
Yes.
January 12th, 2021, by Apoorva Mandavilili. New York Times, the future of coronavirus, an annoying childhood infection.
I'm sorry?
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, this is what they are. Once immunity is widespread in adults, the virus rampaging across the world will come to resemble the common cold, scientists predict.
Oh, gosh.
You see, you want to talk about backpedaling now? You want to talk about reverse engineering reality after traumatizing us for a year? As millions are inoculated against the virus and the pandemic's end finally seems to glimmer into view, scientists are envisioning what a post-vaccine world might look like, and what they're seeing is comforting. The coronavirus is here to stay, but once most adults are immune following natural infection or vaccination.
Wow.
Natural and there's the virus will be no more a threat than the common cold, according to a study published in the journal Science on Tuesday. It goes on. It's all you need to know, isn't it?
Yeah, well, now that Cuomo's like, we can't wait for a vaccine. We've got to get open now. I don't know what people were thinking with this vaccine nonsense. It's time. Lori Lightfoot in Chicago telling everyone to open up. I mean.
Yeah, imagine Cuomo. Being okay with taking that position if we're really dealing with Ebola here. You would never under any circumstances open if this was the scourge that they have been billing it as.
Amazing.
Never in your life. And now look at how they're starting to massage the issue. Oh, it's going to be a common cold, a childhood nuisance. Yeah, like it always has been until the media took hold of this and ran with it.
Childhood nuisance. Meanwhile, they're making kids stay home from school all over the country. My kids are just finally going back on Tuesday after the break.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. They're trying to get, well, smart people are trying to remove Cheney from leadership post, but McCarthy, of course, being the upstanding man that he is saying, no. She's going to stay. Cheney, Liz Cheney. What an opportunist.
None of them are. Yeah.
What an opportunist, right?
Yeah.
There is a video that just came out literally 2 seconds ago, which I don't think that I can read because it's on Facebook and I have no Facebook account. Hold on 1 second. That purports to show Fulton County elections officials caught on video discussing stealing votes. Not that it matters or anything because we're crazy.
Oh, this is with Ruby Freeman, right?
Yes.
I saw this.
You did see it? Is it good?
You can the audio has subtitles and you can catch little bits of it, but at times I wonder how the hell they heard what they heard, but it does seem to make sense. Everybody's got masks on, but I don't know.
Did you know that our show today is brought to you by ExpressVPN, Frank?
Get out of here.
It is. Being stuck at home, you probably don't think.
No, really, get out of here.
Okay, bye. Why are you kicking me out?
All right, continue.
Jeez, you hate me.
No, I'm just kidding.
Success. Being stuck at home these days, you probably don't think much about internet privacy on your home network. Fire up incognito mode on your browser and no one can see what you're doing, right? Wrong. Even in incognito mode, your online activity can still be traced. If you're concerned about privacy right now, folks, this is for you. If you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why, even when I'm sitting at home, I never, ever go online without using ExpressVPN. It makes sure your ISP can't see what sites you visit. Instead, your internet connection is rerouted through their secure servers. Each ExpressVPN server has an IP address that's shared among thousands of users. That means everything you do is anonymized and cannot be traced back to you. Even even. Use the internet with confidence from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. ExpressVPN has you covered on every device. Just tap one button and on you go. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to secure my privacy. Visit our special link at expressvpn.com/dark2light, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com/dark2light. expressvpn.com/dark2light to learn more.
Please go learn more.
Yes, and if you're not using a VPN, shake yourself from your slumber and use one, please.
Yes.
Please.
Do you see what Texas's AG is doing?
Throwing Raquel Rodriguez away?
Outside of that.
No, what? What are they doing?
I'm going to find it real quick and read it. I said also of note, I think it's in the Uncover DC Telegram channel. Here it is.
I just started a, quite frankly, Telegram
you
channel.
You did? Yeah. I'm not in there.
Oh, it was literally the last thing I did before I went to bed.
Oh, all right.
I don't even know what the hell I'm going to do with it. I think it's where I'll put all my premiere nudes.
Ooh.
I'm going to put all premiere nudes. It's like I've got to differentiate this from the other 10,000 places.
Oh my gosh. So AG Paxton issued civil investigative demands to five leading tech companies regarding discriminatory and biased policies and practices. Google, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon Web Services, and Apple, asking the companies for their policies and practices regarding content moderation, and more specifically for information related to Parler, a social media application recently terminated or blocked by Google, Amazon, and Apple. So he's starting his own little crusade there, the AG of Texas, home of the Alamo. And I've been reading the website, the lawsuit for Rumble. I mean, not Rumble, Parler. Are you interested in what this lawsuit is saying?
Yeah.
How long
is this? Is this looking to not be on the not be available anymore? I mean, when are they going to even be able to find a way to get back on?
Well, listen, we did a piece yesterday, and we talked to Rob Davis, who is the CEO of Epic. Where mm-hmm. Parler was like moved their domain name hosting to. Full disclosure, I host Uncover DC at Epic. I always have. So there's that. But
they're trustworthy?
Yes. Yes. They are the ones who stepped up when no one else would to host Gab.
Wow. Okay. So now what is behind and what of course is behind hosting?
Well,
is that internet service providers?
No, like, so when you, wherever you're like, there's a couple different things. You register your domain name, which is www.whatever, and that's a registrar or someone who just, you know, there anybody can buy a domain name if it's available and it's held somewhere and it's registered to you. And then the site that you build, if you do, to go with that domain name has to be hosted somewhere as well. It needs to live somewhere. Some people do it for very small websites at home. It lives on a little server or a little box they make at home. Some other people with bigger websites and more traffic do it at a company. GoDaddy does it. Bluehost does it. There's all kinds of them out there. Amazon Web Services does it for very big companies, enterprise companies. And they administer your web. They basically host all the data, the databases, the traffic. They handle all of that stuff for websites. So when someone types in your website name, they're led to the server it lives on. Well, when Gab came under fire in 2018, the hosting provider that they were using, I forget who it was, said, we're not hosting you anymore. And nobody else would host their websites either. So they've got this massive social media website that nobody will put on their servers. And to do it inside for yourself is really, really hard. So Epic stepped up and said, we'll host it for you because we believe in free speech. So So you can buy your domain name from Epic too. So like if GoDaddy got really mad at somebody or wanted to cancel them and their website was, their domain name was hosted at GoDaddy. If GoDaddy canceled you, that's it. That's it. Nobody can right. get, you know what I mean? So they,
that's what just happened.
Well, yes, that and their hosting, both. So the other day, there's two separate things. The other day, Parler moved their domain name, their Parler.com to Epic so that they wouldn't be deplatformed there too. I don't know where they had it hosted before, but you could do a Whois lookup and find out. So now Parler is hosted, their domain name is hosted at Epic.com, but they don't have their data anywhere. It's out there in the wilderness. And so we did an interview yesterday with, Michelle did it, our writer Michelle did it with Rob. And Rob was saying, we don't know what the future is going to bring with Parler, if they're going to come over here or not. We have no idea. But we feel that there should be a free and open internet and free speech should be protected. And he really put out a very eloquent and... You would love this statement. It's really great. It's at uncoverdc.com. It says exclusive Epic advice for Parler.
Mm-hmm. I'll check it out.
Yeah. And so we're there. Parler, their domain name is there, but not them, far as I know. I mean, that things could have changed. And it was just basically explaining, because this lawsuit is... Epic is getting called for comment left and right because Parler moved their domain name there, re-registered, and you could see that publicly. So the reason why I'm talking about this is because Epic put out a statement before they realized that Parler had switched their domain name over, because it's easy. You just go in like you're shopping for anything. Let me see if this is available, blah, 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 blah. You transfer it from where it is, you know?
Mm.
You don't even, Epic would never know that until they, you know, reconciled their registrations because they sell domain. Yeah.
My little website is on, it's all through Squarespace, which of course doesn't make me feel any better because Squarespace has screwed a couple of people over in the last year. And, that made me like pause and like, oh God, it's just crazy. It just feels like you're walking through a minefield.
Yeah. Well, you can always move to Epic.
Yeah.
Very
one
affordable.
Day. Probably. Probably going to have to.
Let me read really quickly the deposition, because Matz, who's the president of Parler, John Matz, he's mm-hmm. the CEO, he did a declaration and said what's going on here with him. So what the story is, like if you want to understand the story of the Parler issue with Amazon, just read his deposition. It's all pretty much laid out there. Basically, at the end of the day, they had been talking... For months and months, Amazon Web Services was happy with the way that Parler was handling their content moderation. And they have their own rules about what speech is, what is allowed and what is not. AWS has terms and conditions. If Parler is using AWS's services, Parler must adhere to those terms and conditions. But when AWS takes you on as a client, there's a meeting that's had with their management there, and you explain what your content moderation policies are. And Parler was using a reactive content moderation policy, which means before, when you post something, if somebody flags it, then it's reviewed. So if somebody posted something threatening to kill someone and it looked serious, but nobody reported it, then Parler wouldn't have found it. Because they've got something like 15 million users posting all day long, you know, for them to have a team to moderate all of that content without being, it's just crazy.
Right.
Which is why they were in talks with AWS to introduce AI. And AWS wanted Parler to use their AI to be able to preemptively stop people from posting content like that. And they were going to do that because that's what a lot of social media platforms are doing now. To avoid, you know, issues and scrutiny. So that was, everything was fine. They had sent a bunch of content that they thought was violation of the standards. And to be honest, Frank, I've read through the content they sent AWS, and it is. It's all horrible, horrible things that people were saying. I mean, things that would make you feel yucky to read them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but yeah, this is the weird situation everybody gets on into. Like, look at all this stuff. Look, it's a haven for hatred.
Well,
it's the internet, number one.
I know.
Number two, the stuff I had that's on Twitter. I see constantly.
That's exactly where I'm going with this. That's exactly where I'm going with this. I'm not saying that they're correct. I'm saying that the stuff wasn't benign stuff like, you know what I mean? It was bad speech. It's stuff that makes you uncomfortable to read. I'm not making a declaration about whether it should be allowed or not. I'm just saying that the stuff that AWS sent in their exhibits to Parler to remove was inappropriate speech, in my opinion. I wouldn't necessarily advocate for it being banned. I'm just saying it made me uncomfortable. That's all. So they acted on that in the middle of this influx of users. They were down. They came back up. They acted on like 24,000 pieces of content, and there was like 1,000 pieces left. And AWS was very happy with them and said so in an email. Thank you guys so much. You're on top of this. This is great. Blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, Twitter became an AWS customer a few weeks ago. All of a sudden, Twitter says they're banning President Trump. Immediately thereafter, AWS goes to Parler and says, you guys are gone. You have less than 24 hours. We're kicking you off the platform. They terminated the contract with them. That's breach of contract. It is clear as day. There is no question. Parler has an absolutely stunning case because the emails between AWS and Parler are available for everybody to read. And there is absolutely no issue until the day that Twitter kicks off President Trump. Now, Twitter and AWS are customers or are, you know, working with one another. So what Parler's arguing is that AWS conspired with Twitter to remove Twitter's biggest competitor at the time, which was Parler. Mm-hmm. Because President Trump was going to move to Parler. And then all of a sudden, all those users from Twitter, where were they going to go? Parler.
Okay, of course.
So AWS is saying, no, you violated this policy, this policy, and this policy. We are in our rights to terminate you. Parler's saying, you have to give us 30 days under your contract. You have to give us 30 days, not 24 hours, to move God knows how many terabytes of data and databases and get them up and running. You can't just do that to a business. You know how much money they're losing right now? They're going to go out of business. I can almost guarantee it. I'd be shocked. Right? Yeah, I would be shocked if Parler was able to come back. But what's worse, I mean, literally, he says, John, he was talking to AWS team on Sunday night, and they were looking to grow their business with Parler. Like, they were giving them financial incentive packages and stuff because they were, you know, growing their business and they wanted to help them along and blah, blah, blah. And they were talking just the day before about putting in an integration with Amazon Recognition, which could help quickly identify images and videos which contain material against Parler's terms of service. So what has happened to poor John is gross. I'm going to just read this because it makes me sick. Prior to AWS's shutdown, I believed and publicly stated that Parler would quickly be able to find another hosting service. Since then, however, AWS's highly publicized break from our contractual relationship, when coupled with the toxic notoriety of massive hacking attacks, which they talk about in there, by the way, that was Amazon's fault, apparently. Not only that, I'm sorry, people at Parler, they were using a free trial of some software to be doing some functionality on Parler. What the F is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break, guys. What are we in kindergarten here?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's ridiculous.
So basically, in leaked communications, AWS has used language that has allowed the media to mischaracterize Parler in ways that have alienated their partners and caused them to withdraw potential financing and infrastructural services. Amazon is saying that the Capitol riot thing was planned on Parler. Parler is saying, you guys are out of your damn minds. Not even one person who's been arrested so far has had even a Parler account, let alone planned anything on Parler.
Yeah. Especially since it's all being also to being done through the guise of, the insurrection. We need to cut these insurrectionists off at the root.
Correct. Yes. So Scylla, which provides specialized enterprise support and database software that Parler critically relies on, gave Parler their 30-day notice, explaining that even if the media's accusations are only partially true, they couldn't continue their agreement with us. Slack, which provided a chat messaging system for coordinating with the Parler jury that enforces our terms of service, canceled, citing a violation of their own terms of service based on their decision, based on AWS's decision to drop Parler. Losing Slack makes it difficult to effectively enforce our terms of service because their 600 volunteer and paid jury members, the people that evaluate content, use Slack to communicate. Stripe, which processes credit card payments for Parler, also alluded to AWS's highly publicized allegations of violence and terminated their agreement. This renders it impossible for Parler to generate revenue, and even if they could find a replacement vendor, the software integration would take weeks. After hearing of AWS's allegations, Parler's press relations firm abruptly terminated its agreement to represent them. Flurry, which does anonymous analytics for Parler to understand app usage and statistics, terminated their relationship with Parler. American Express has flagged Parler as violating their compliance rules, and now Parler can't use them as a credit card processor. This is a limited list of vendors that have dropped Parler since AWS terminated services. Even Epic, which is currently holding a domain, will not be providing the web hosting services that are essential for Parler to function as a company. Given this fallout, AWS's continuing refusal to honor its agreement to provide Parler with hosting and other online services is causing massive damage to our company's reputation, business model, and commercial liability. But there's more. There's more. As a final matter, multiple members of Parler's team have come to me expressing fear for their career and fear for their lives and potentially bodily harm due to the press surrounding AWS's claims. Many employees want to resign due to the strain and pressure they feel, fearing hostility towards our company and fearing for their own safety. Some have had articles written about them. Many are being harassed by reporters and journalists already. Some have had to cancel their phone numbers and their family members' phone numbers due to harassment. Some have gone so far as to leave their home states to escape. I left my home state to go somewhere safe. Via messages on LinkedIn, Twitter, and email, I have received many recent threats of violence. Though most have presented no imminent threat of danger, I've seen one particular group with a history of committing murder doxing my home street on Twitter with threat accusations lobbed against me, as well as others circulating my personal passwords. AWS's false accusations have incited a virtual mob and presented a risk to my family, our employees, and their families.
And they don't care.
No.
But, you know, they're going to try to see what they can get away with.
Go to Twitter.
Especially since they see how many friends they have in the judiciary.
Yeah, for real. This judge is deciding on the temporary restraining order, i.e. AWS would have to take Parler back under this. But I still don't understand how that'll work. I don't even know how that'll work. The only way this works out is if this judge grants a judge. I mean, what AWS has done to Parler is completely unacceptable and cannot stand. It is completely unacceptable and you know, based on nothing but, you know, the press reports that Parler was responsible for the Capitol thing. Meanwhile, they have proof that that's not true. So, look at Twitter.
And it keeps coming.
Do you know how many times I have, like, seen, like, growth? There are women on Twitter showing crotch shots of themselves, like literally spread open, wide open for the world to see. Pornography is all over Periscope and Twitter. The pedophilia is rampant on Twitter. You know, if AWS is going to enforce these terms, they're not enforcing them for the other platforms. Not only that, but they make the point in this lawsuit too that what's it called? Oh goodness, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, that Twitter is actually where most of these people were communicating to, quote, plan this thing. That's where they were all doing. What about the Christchurch dude? Didn't he post on Facebook? How many murders are streamed on Facebook every day?
Oh, you know, he was streaming on Facebook.
Yeah. So why is Facebook still up and running? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. Maybe because Mark Zuckerberg is the Borg.
I am very, very comfortable and happy on CloudHub. I'm also using Gab. I have loved CloudHub from the beginning. You've heard me talk about it a gazillion times. We've had Jeff on the show. I think it is the most robust platform. They've had their issues, Frank, as you know. They were using IBM to host their video, and IBM pulled a fast one on them. So CloudHub has been developing their own hosted video platform where that won't happen again.
I can't wait because I haven't been on since IBM specifically targeted me.
Well, they targeted a lot of, I mean, America's Voice is down. I somehow made it through. You'd be surprised given that Rolling Stone put out a hit piece on me yesterday.
Really?
Yes. They're trying to get me taken off of Patreon.
Patreon said they removed QAnon conspiracy theorists, but Tracy Beans is still there.
You kidding me? I'm just going to get this out one more time. I haven't talked about QAnon since 2017. And there's a very good reason why I stopped talking about QAnon in 2017.
18.
Early 2018. You're right. It was like February of 2018.
We started this show in like May of 18.
Yeah.
And whatever.
It's February of 2018.
It's done just fine without you.
I mean, seriously, I wasn't necessary for this thing to propagate. Trust me. But somehow they keep on pulling me back into this, like, she's still following. And then they cited three articles that I wrote that were on Uncover DC. They called them videos, and they said that they were conspiracy theories. With the three articles they cited, Frank, you want me to read you the titles?
Sure.
Hold on. This is the three articles they said were conspiracy theory. It just gives you a lot of idea on where they stand. A video for her more than 650 patrons, that's not true either, entitled, Was the Russia Hoax a Chinese Operation? Were the Chinese involved in the 2020 election fraud? And the media is not telling the whole story about January 6th. The CCP, she's going after the CCP.
God forbid. God forbid. Don't go after their friends.
Seriously. I couldn't believe this. Like, there is nothing on my Patreon that goes against their terms of service. Nothing. So, I just trying to get everybody over to Subscribestar because that's my income. That's like how I make a living. So, nobody wants to listen. Very few people are actually heeding my warnings that I've been giving for the past 6 months. Please, God, move over to Subscribestar. Please.
Been trying. Been trying to get people slowly moving on over. But we'll see what happens.
Anyway.
Indeed.
Well, that's
but
it.
Yeah, that's yeah. They hunt you down wherever you are, and they call it justice, and they call it making. They call it free market. They call it the free
market.
That's
not the free market. This is like that. They don't know what the free market is. They don't know what the free market is. I'll link this deposition in the show notes for everybody to read. I had Daniel's article up to do today. It's called Hypocrisy Signals Received on Mars. It's really, really, really well done. He like takes all of the comments by, you know, different people about violent protest over the past year, and he puts them together to show, like, contrast them against what they've said about this insurrection, allegedly.
And you know what? Just like everything else, you give it some time and you start realizing what's really behind the big story of the day. Just like everything else, this insurrection, you give it a week, and all of a sudden we see the cast of a shadowy cast of characters that are on an audio video level tied directly in with something that's obviously orchestrated, not only on a street level but on an institutional level with more stand down orders.
Yeah.
With police opening up barricades and welcoming people in.
Taking
there's
pictures
just
with them.
So much craziness. And there's so much right there. But then again, the other thing that we always realize is you get the narrative out there, then the truth starts eking on out, and then nobody covers it. And then and we move on, and there's never any reckoning. We've been doing this game, living through this media cycle for years. There's never a reckoning.
No, there's never. Nobody ever. I know. Nobody ever.
Who cares if we just sit here and prove or disprove things to ourselves over and over again? Who cares? We're always on the defensive. We're always playing by their rules and on their turf. There's never a reckoning.
No, there is not.
Maybe those 26,000 troops are part of the reckoning. Who knows?
I don't know what those 26,000 troops are, but something tells me we'll find out shortly.
Yeah.
Emerald Robinson just tweeted, military checkpoints are set up on all the roads into Washington, D.C. to alert citizens to all the freedom they're about to enjoy under the Biden-Harris regime. There's like a speaker. There's a speaker that's saying, this air, it's, you know what it's like, Frank? It is exactly like Division, the game.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you want to hear really quickly the, I think you retweeted it. I think you might have retweeted it now. CNN's Jade Sacker penetrating the Capitol with a member of BLM and Antifa cheering, "We did it."
Yep.
And then asking her conspirator if he was filming. He said he'd delete it. He lied. Amazing.
Jade. Oh, Jade. Your parents must be very proud of you.
I'm trying to find it.
Let me see. Jade. Is she on? Is she on? Jade Sacker.
I'm looking for that video.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there it is. Breaking, CNN Jade Sacker.
Sacker.
Penetrating the Capitol, sacking the Capitol.
Here.
With a member of BLM Antifa cheering, "We did it!" Like it's, a little girl in Burger King.
It's 29 seconds long. Do you want to play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll give you your hug now. We did it! You were right. We did it.
Dude, I was trying to tell you. I couldn't say much.
You were right.
You were right. We did it. You were right. You were right.
I couldn't say much, you know. Well, the plan, you know, there was portions of this little plan that could not be divulged until the day of, and here they are. Here they, you know what, and you know what the scene looks like. You have two sheepdogs and a whole bunch of sheep. That's what it looks like.
I doubt this guy was the mastermind of anything.
No, but you know, it's those types right there. The Jade Sacker and this BLM guy, they know what has to be done. They are part of the herding effect to lure people, emotional, amped up people, to go on into the Capitol. They are going to be the ones that do all of the busting up, but it's the people that they lured in that are going to collectively take the blame.
Well, that's and then exactly be used, right.
And then be used to castigate the president and everybody else, and bring about this ridiculous impeachment lollygaggle. It's now you have it. It's just hurting people. They understand human psychology. They knew people would be amped up, and you let these bad seeds do what they do, and then the media says, "Thanks, guys. We just needed a lead. Now we'll take it from here."
Yeah, seriously, that's exactly what happened. Do you feel like horrible for President Trump? Like, do you feel bad?
It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. The only, from an objective standpoint, and I know that there are people that would laugh at this because they're so lost, but from an objective standpoint, he has done nothing but try to just give people a good time, just a good time and prosperity. Like when he tweeted 2 weeks ago, "All I want," or 2 or 3 weeks ago, "All I want to do is stop the world from killing itself." Yeah. I believe him.
Yeah. It's 100%
true. Believe him.
And look what the thanks he gets is being, banks kicking him out, PGA not working. It's just disgusting.
That's
really
what I said. We were talking about the Rubicon, crossing the Rubicon. Mm-hmm. And, Julius Caesar and his the moment that changed the ancient world. And, of course, that we're still talking about it over 2,000 years later. But what we're looking at here is almost like a reverse Julius Caesar, where they assassinated him first. He's had 4 years of a slow motion assassination, and I just hope that the assassination leads to there's a Rubicon after the assassination, whereas in history, the Rubicon was crossed first, and then he was assassinated later in life. Now that we got the first assassination, the assassination out of the way, how about we cross the Rubicon, President Trump? Because they're going after us pretty much by going after you.
You want to see the, you know, the person that tweeted that? I have my blank Twitter up right now. It's a Muse, A-M-U-S-E. His name is Alexander Muse. If this isn't the most... He has a thing pinned on his Twitter account I'm looking at right now. The book is called Deplatformed, The Conservative Survival Guide. How to Survive the Coming Storm. Coming soon for Amazon Kindle. Are you out of your... What? You're publishing your book about being deplatformed on Amazon, the platform responsible for deplatforming. Yeah. Are you laughing?
Yeah, it's
I hope
hilarious.
So.
If I'm not laughing, I'd be crying.
You have been listening to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Frankie Val on the drums and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday, Frank.
Later.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
This team with really good quarterback play, dynamic playmakers at receiver, great running back, one of the best offensive lines you're going to ever see, a defense that's got some experience that came back from last year, a lot of things going for it, and the best coach in college football history. I've said this several times. What Nick Saban has done is nothing short of amazing. And I don't know anybody that, you know, obviously with my background with Saban, having worked with him, I knew early on this guy was special as a head coach. I didn't think special meant was going to be the greatest college football of all time. You don't ever think that or see that, or you just don't. But there's no question about it that what he has done, to the degree that he has had success, how he's evolved and changed to adjust. You know, I say this all the time, that when you're talking about coaches, great coaches, there are a lot of aspects to it. It starts with leadership. It starts with the ability to build that culture and build that focus and that determination. That's the key. There are a lot of guys that have good ability from an X's and O's standpoint. There's some guys that can lead. There's some guys that can recruit. To be able to do it all well is, it's what makes them, well, unbeatable. In terms of, they don't win every game. They don't win the title every year. But they average, over the last 12 years, winning a national title every other year. It's phenomenal.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.